to me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. And some about that work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, man.
Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is February 12th today, and we've got a short show for you today all about how your full-time job search might be a little bit different than your co-op search. So this is Abby Pober from Co-ops and Careers, and I'm joined by three fantastic colleagues from my office today. How is everybody today?
Great.
So I'm Becky Smith, co-op advisor.
And I'm Sarah Dell, co-op advisor.
And I'm Rhea Kalinowski, co-op and career advisor. And like Abby mentioned, today we're talking about the similarities and differences between the full-time job search and the co-op search. Any seniors who are graduating in August, now is definitely the time to start looking. And if you're graduating in April, hopefully you've already started. And if you need help with your search, your co-op and career advisor is available for that full-time help. So we're going to start off talking about the similarities with between the co-op search and the full-time search, but know that as you go through it, that you'll need to have kind of an increased focus or increased intensity on the things that that are similar. One thing that we always recommend when doing your search is a little bit of networking. What do you guys think about in terms of networking for the full-time search?
I think it's really important. I mean, if you look at people who do a passive search where they're just applying, the return rate is usually 10 to 20%, which means you really have to do a lot of volume. But if you use networking, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics every year does a study on how people get their jobs, and every year, year after year, it's about 80% that come back who have gotten jobs that say that there was a networking component.
Yeah,
so I advocate for both. Look on the job boards and apply through the routine channels, and then check and see who you might know, whether there might be alumni there. The usual, you've learned that from your co-op searches, I believe, and that's what you, it's especially important with a permanent job, because when people are looking at hiring someone for the long term, they think that much more deeply, they're that much more selective. They need to make sure it'll work out, because it's not like it'll just naturally wrap up after 3 or 4 months the way a co-op did.
I have a question. Can the students leverage their network that they built while they were on co-op?
Definitely, yeah. Reach back out to those co-op supervisors. Even if you're not interested in that specific company or that specific job, you know, reach back out and see if they have other availabilities at the company or if they know of any other companies that are hiring as well.
Yeah, and if you didn't connect with them when you were wrapping up your co-op, make sure you connect with them now before you lose track of them, and connect with them on LinkedIn formally so everyone keeps up their own information and you'll never lose track of them. And you can connect to colleagues as well, and even colleagues that have moved on to other companies. There may be some really interesting things out there, and they may help you with some of the research. And the more you know about the industry and the different companies, the more effective your interviews and your applications are going to be.
Sarah, sometimes students are concerned that it's been too long. They didn't tie things up at the end of co-op. Maybe that person was on vacation when they wrapped up, and now they don't feel that comfortable reaching out again. What do you say?
I say that you should definitely reach out to them. You may be able to come up with a reason to reach out with them. One thing might be an updated resume that included your co-op search or co-op experience that you were on. Another thing might be an interesting article that you saw on a subject matter that interests both of you, that you were just thinking of them and you want to reach out just to reconnect and warm up that connection again, to kind of re-engage it. And I bet they'd be delighted to hear from you.
Yeah, and if you're connecting on LinkedIn, make sure to always add the note, so to remind them, you know, I worked with you on co-op, we did these projects together. Whoever you're connecting with, make sure to just remind them of how you know each other.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So another key aspect of the search, either co-op or job search, is the follow-up. What do you guys say about this?
As usual, I think it's even more important than ever. And one reason is because the volume of applications for a long-term job is a lot bigger, a lot higher than the volume for co-op applications. And now I know our listeners are aware you had a lot of competition for your co-op jobs, and it's going to be even broader competition because companies are not just recruiting at certain target schools for long-term jobs. They're posting on the big websites. These are very open, transparent postings and opportunities that attract candidates from maybe all over the country and maybe even different age groups, not just your year.
That's a good point. Yeah, so what would that follow-up look like, do you think?
I think, well, we have examples, actually. We have a handout on follow-up on just to check in to see what the status is of your application. And we have scripts, actually, one for email and one for calling in. Sometimes it can be a little challenging to find the proper contact or find a contact. It's more often than not will not be on the posting, but you can always go out to the company website and look at their contacts. There might be email through there. You can email HR. You could also call and ask to speak to HR and find out who's handling the search. But we just discovered that LinkedIn updated their company pages, and there was something really interesting about that on there.
Yeah, now when you go onto company pages, you can do a search like you would an alumni search on a university's LinkedIn page. So you can actually look at all the employees at that company and sort them by, you know, where they graduated from, what they studied, what their strengths are. You can search much more easily than you could before. So that's a really great new tool that LinkedIn has, utilized that you can use to do that search and make those predictions.
I'm going to plug our Twitter here, at WIT Co-ops and Careers, because I actually tweeted the article that Rhea shared with the team a couple weeks ago. I tweeted it this week. So in the last 5 tweets on our feed, you'll see that article. So check it out because it is really, really useful and it walks you through the step-by-step way of using it.
Nice.
In LinkedIn. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. And so on the company pages, you can actually look for HR recruiting and find someone who's working there and then reach out to connect to them and tell them you've applied and that you'd like to talk a little bit about the opportunity. And if they're not the right person, could they direct you to the correct person?
Mm. That sounds good. And similarly to the co-op search, you still need to prepare for those interviews and think about the questions you want to ask and how you're going to answer the questions they'll ask you. And we actually have a handout of commonly asked questions for alumni, which is, you know, geared towards either graduating seniors or alumni.
And the last thing with those interviews is that always remember you want to send thank you emails. Any advice on that?
Well, I think, yes, this is my chance to repair any damage I've done by making it sound extra competitive. I get passionate about how you can differentiate yourself. So thank you emails are a way to differentiate yourself, just like that follow-up we talked about a few minutes ago. I heard once from a recruiter that only about 20% of the folks they interviewed ever followed up with a thank you. So be part of that 20%. Something I'm proud of about Wentworth is that our students are down to earth and they generally are grateful for opportunities to interview or for guidance. So express that.
Yeah, definitely. So now, if you guys don't have anything more to add about that, we're going to dive into the differences between the full-time search and the co-op search. One thing that we discourage our students on the co-op search to do is for the salary negotiation. So it's typically not the right situation to go forward with that, but for the full-time search, that's a key component. So what do you guys have to say about that?
I think one of the most important things is that it's not really a salary negotiation, it's a package negotiation.
Okay.
So this is not just salary, this is a lot of benefits. There could be also sort of intangible things that could make a real difference in terms of who you're reporting to, what your title is, what your role is, if there's flexibility in the work schedule, work from home. There's also, there may be tuition reimbursement or support for graduate degrees. There's a lot of things that can go into a package, and you need to really take a look at the whole thing and look at the value of the whole thing and your priorities. And then pick out two or three things that if you want to go back to them on, you will, but not more than two or three. You really want to focus that. And then negotiating is a fine art. So there's some very good YouTubes out there. Our handout actually references some of them. We have a handout on negotiation as well, which is available on our website. I'd recommend taking a look at that and even watching some of the longer YouTubes. There's a, I can't recall his name, but there's a professor from Harvard Business School that is a specialist in negotiation, and there's an excellent YouTube on there. And I hate to tell you this, but it's an hour long. But you may make $5,000 difference in your salary if you watch it. So
I'd say that's worth an hour.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we can do some research and dig up the name of that and tweet about it.
Yeah, we'll tweet about it if we get the link. We'll send it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, and along with that, you know, think about the commute and think about transportation costs and, you know, your sick time, vacation time, the health benefits. What else can you think about?
Retirement benefits, bonuses. You can even ask if they talk about a bonus, but they're not too clear about it, or raises. You can ask what the history has been for this role in the past few years, in terms of even ballparking those numbers, giving you a range. That would be helpful to know.
You can negotiate when you'll get looked at for promotion. So mm-hmm. if you are interested, so if they're listing a salary, but you're hoping for something more, and then maybe, you know, instead of waiting a year to have a review and be looked at for promotion, maybe you can get a quicker review, like 6 months or something.
I never thought of that as like part of the negotiation. Like I've actually done that. I've instructed, you know, my partner to do that, but yeah. I've never thought of it as part of the negotiation process.
Yeah.
I think another thing to make sure you fully understand is what is the pathway?
Sure.
If you take that particular job, this relates to the job title, as Sarah was saying. Is it a company where there tend to be opportunities to move up, or is it more flat, where you might not move up, but you might get more variety in your job, and how quickly? And a good way to ask about that is just to say, tell me about people who've held this position before and what they've been able to move into after a couple of years.
Yeah, there may be opportunities to actually transfer across the organization to other mm-hmm. roles. There also may be ways to even stay in a role, but grow professionally into different areas where you gain different expertise. And you should also take a look at what kind of trainings that they offer mm-hmm. for their staff, and also what kind of professional development opportunities. Mm-hmm. So even in addition to, you know, degrees or certifications, things like that, but, you know, conferences that you may want to go to maintain and continue to expand your skills and your knowledge area.
Or certifications you might want to obtain.
I want to plug an opportunity here in Boston as well that you have for negotiation, practice, and gaining skills. The AAUW offers free workshops to people who identify as women for salary negotiation. And actually, our colleague Lauren Creamer and our director, Robin Beauchamp, hosts those sessions occasionally in the city. So check those out for sure.
And if you have questions about your specific salary package and benefits and all that, we can definitely meet with your co-op and career advisor to discuss that one-on-one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always happy to look at a package and to help with that. Many of us have HR backgrounds, so we can help with understanding some of the benefits. It's also not a bad idea to go back and just go back to ask questions if you don't understand something in the package. Go back to their HR to clarify.
Another difference is that you'll be working probably more with recruiters than you did for co-ops.
Hmm. What kind of recruiters? Are we talking like recruiters in the corporate, in the company, or recruiters from a staffing company?
It could be either.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It could be either. If you're in a particular field, there are recruiting companies that focus specifically on that field. I would say as long as they're recruiting for specific jobs at specific companies, that's one way that you'll know you can trust that type of opportunity. Other examples, Sarah or Rhea?
Well, it just brings up an example. You know, the one thing that you want to avoid is if you have a recruiter that you give permission to have them put forth your resume for one opportunity, and without your permission, they do it for another. Because once you are presented to the company, they have credit for that lead. And so you won't be able to be hired to that company without them being involved. That's part of their contract between them and the company. So you need to be really careful about that.
And never pay a recruiter.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I come from the staffing agency world, and you should never be asked to pay for recruiting service.
Huge red flag.
And then of course companies, recruiters within companies. Why would a graduate work more with recruiters inside a company than a co-op would?
Well, you are being hired for a full-time permanent position. And so I think sometimes that means that there's more vetting. And so there's more interaction with setting up multiple interviews. They're really checking, because this isn't just a co-op where they get to try you out, and if it doesn't work, you know, okay, that's fine. This is an opportunity where you're going to be hired on, and it's much harder. They put in more effort, more time, more money into a full-time hire, because with the expectation that you're going to stay. And so I think you spend more time in the recruiting process, and the recruiting process takes a bit longer. Mm-hmm. So I've often had students say that they were surprised that the full-time job search took longer than the co-op search, but I don't find that surprising at all.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into talking about the length of interviews and how you may go through a phone screening and then come to the site and meet with someone and then maybe come back and do a presentation, or, you know, it's a little bit more involved than for a co-op.
Yeah, there may be many more rounds, and you also may interview with multiple teams. So, although some students do that for co-op, it depends on the company, but with multiple teams. But I'd say the number of rounds is probably much longer, mm-hmm. or longer anyway.
Has anybody ever seen like a video screening interview during a co-op, before a co-op?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for technical positions, you know, oftentimes there's a technical challenge,
right?
And then a video interview, and then an on-site.
I've heard sometimes there's even like Twitter coding kind of challenges to pre-screen for some jobs.
Oh, that's interesting.
With some of the big tech companies, I've heard about this.
Hmm. Yeah, and you may see more of that in the permanent job search, because again, the candidates are coming from all over the place, and a higher volume of candidates, so the company's going to take advantage of technological solutions to interact with as many candidates as they can and find the best person. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of technological solutions, that applicant tracking system, you might not be looking for jobs inside WITWORKS, which means you're going to be up against applicant tracking systems a lot more than you would have with your co-op.
Right, and what that means is when you submit your resume, it gets scanned by, there are a couple different types of applicant tracking systems, but basically it scans your resume for those keywords that they're looking at for from the job description. So you have to make sure that when you're applying to a position that you really customize not only your cover letter, but the resume for each position that you apply for.
In terms of keywords.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I know you're all, like, dying to see what's coming out on our Twitter feed every day. So this coming Friday morning, we have a tweet schedule that actually goes through some of the top applicant tracking systems and the ways that they search through your resume and gives you tips to kind of get to the top of those systems per system.
Excellent.
Oh, so look out for that article coming out. Well, teaser.
Awesome. That sounds great. Yeah, and one way to kind of think about your resume and able to customize it quickly is to maybe include like a summary at the top of your resume, and to be very careful, you know, mindful of the keywords that they're looking for in the job description, and if those apply to you. I mean, you want to make sure that you have the skills that you're listing, include those within that summary, and it'd be a quick way to kind of customize and really target those keywords that they're looking for from the job description.
What about it used to be with applicant tracking systems that there was a difficulty sometimes in reading fancy
tables.
Formats.
Yeah, you know, tables and headers. Yeah.
So what things to avoid, should students avoid, do you think, Rhea?
Yeah, those can definitely cause errors or confusion within the ATS. So, you know, using a simple Word, you know, formatting, you know, no tables, no headers, you know, just keeping it very, like, simple is the best way to go.
I would pick a basic font too.
Yeah.
It seems kind of strange, but if you try to put in a character that's specific to a certain font that not every system has, then the system that it's being read by won't be able to catch it. So keep to a Times New Roman and Arial, something that every system is going to be able to translate.
That's a good point too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have questions about, you know, formatting your resume or how to best, you know, utilize, you know, format it or include those keywords for the applicant tracking system, meet with your co-op and career advisor and they can give you more in-depth advice for your particular situation.
Awesome.
So speaking of resumes, you want to get yours ready also for the co-op and career fair that's coming up May 19th.
March 19th.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Those are easy to confuse. Mm. And we're going to have a whole week of events leading up to the career fair when you all return from spring break. So on March 11th, look out for pizza with the team, advice in a slice. And then there's a whole schedule we're going to be posting that's going to include a special radio program with the employers on the radio that are going to be at the fair. We're going to do an employer panel workshop. Where they're going to walk you through the things that employers are looking for from Wentworth students when they're attending the fair. And then, of course, our favorite all-day resume with the advisors from 10 to 4 in the library in our office on the Thursday and Friday. That's March 14th and 15th before the fair. And Whitware is going to be open some extended hours on the Monday before the fair and the day of the fair until 4 o'clock. So we'll give you more details about each one of those events, the timing, the location. Of course, it's always on our website, coopsandcareers.wit.edu, and on our Twitter handle, @WitCoopsAndCareers.
Yeah, and speaking about the fair, it's really important to do research about the employers that will be there prior to attending. So download the Simplicity Jobs and Careers app to get that list of employers closer to the day of the fair.
Yeah, definitely. And if you can find this stuff on WitWorks itself from your web browser, but the app is really great and you can take it with you and there'll be a map in there so you'll be able mobile at the fair. And employers will know that you'll be using your phones to look at the map, so they're not going to be questioning you with your phone out at the fair. And I also want to let you all know that because campus is closing today at 2 p.m., drop-in hours in our office have been canceled today. So no drop-in hours at Co-ops and Careers from 1:30 to 4 today, but there will be drop-in hours tomorrow, Wednesday, from 1:30 to 4, and then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for those same hours.
Tuesday, Wednesday, next week. Monday is a holiday. Oh,
yeah. Oh, really? 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys have anything else to add, or I think we're going to wrap up?
No, thanks everybody. This was really fun.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. This was great. Bye everyone.
Good luck on your full-time job search. Come see us.